Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And I would celebrate everybody wearing green, but some people didn't get the memo, apparently. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about the lineup here today. I'm Andy, of course. Mari Kreshewitz is here. Did I say your name right, Mari?
Yes, Kreshewitz.
Kreshewitz, okay. And Stacy Young is here from the Southern Utah Home Builders Association. Mello is over there behind the glass. Hi, Mello. You doing okay? I'm going to turn your mic up. There we go. Sorry about that.
Good morning.
Hi. Yeah. You could wave, but they won't see you on the radio. So anyway. And we're here to talk about homes and realty and market and what SUBA is and all kinds of fun stuff today. So I appreciate you guys coming.
Thank you for having us.
Well, let's do some personal stuff, though. Mari, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and stuff and how you ended up in St. George, Utah.
Okay. Well, I am married for 10 years, and I personally have triplets. They're 31 years old, three sons, and then my husband has eight, so we have 11 together, so there's never a dull moment going on.
You have grandkids, I assume, then.
Yes.
At this point. How many?
The joy of our lives. We have eight.
Eight?
Yep. They're so fun.
By the way, Mari looks like she's like 30, so the fact that you have grandkids is pretty amazing.
Thank you. I knew I liked you. But yeah, actually, I moved to St. George, Utah in 1994. So I've actually lived in Utah longer than where I lived before. I won't mention that state.
a state that is not Utah is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, somewhere else.
Yeah, but love
a hot or cold state.
It's warm. It's on the coast. I think a lot of people.
I know where we're talking. Okay, all right.
I think a lot of people are
big
from,
state.
Yes, a large state. But yeah, I've been here longer in Utah, so definitely Utah in my blood. I love living here. We live in Dameron Valley, love that area as well. So
So you remember the Dameron Valley barbecue then?
Back the barbecue?
Ooh, yeah, remember that store and everything?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Bayo pies.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know they sell like 600 to 800 pies in a weekend all the way out in Bayo?
Really?
Yes.
Wow. It's crazy. I know their lemon sour cream pie is second to none.
Yes.
Anywhere ever.
Yeah.
So.
It's really good. Worth the drive.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, Mari, well, welcome. Stacy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks. I'm Stacy Young. I am the Government Affairs Director for the Southern Utah Home Builders Association, and I'm a developer and land use attorney.
You're a lawyer. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an attorney. Yeah. Okay.
And I've been in St. George for a little over 20 years now. Grew up in Monticello, Utah, so the other Southern Utah.
The Buckaroos over there, huh?
Yeah, Buckaroos, that's right. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's good. Been here 20-odd years and in housing development that whole time.
Nice. Mello, how long have you been in St. George?
I moved here in
Santa
2013.
Clara,
so I don't do math in my head or
you're
in public.
You're a newbie, huh? Mm-hmm. A dozen years?
Okay. Well, no, I grew up in Spanish Fork, so I've been in Utah.
All right.
I count for Utah. Hello.
I find it fascinating that Mari and I have been in St. George pretty much the same amount of time. You know what's weird, Mari, is we're still newcomers, apparently. Mm-hmm. You notice that? People that have been there their whole lives are like, oh, you've only been here 30 years. Huh? 31 years. Well, it's a long time. It's I've lived here longer than I haven't lived here, you know? So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, and we've seen our community grow, and, you know, it's beautiful. You know, we love it. And I actually started with Southern Utah Home Builders Association 25 years ago next month.
Wow.
And
okay.
So, and I'm currently the executive officer of SUBA. We have amazing members. We have over 830 members. We are the largest home builders association in Utah. And given our smaller demographic compared to northern Utah, that's quite remarkable.
Yeah.
But I love what I do for a living, and I love it because of our members. They're great. We're a volunteer organization, and they really care about our community. They love what they do, construction.
So
love it.
So tell us a little bit more about what SUBA is, S-U-H-B-A, what it is. What I mean, you mentioned all the members and everything. Is it exclusively for people, well, that build homes?
Actually, we have a wide variety of members. Okay. We are a trade organization, nonprofit, 501c6, and we have general building contractors. We have many trade contractors, interior mm-hmm. designers, but there's so many industries that are related to construction. For example, real estate professionals, accountants, attorneys. We have attorneys teach a lot of our education classes. So there's many people. Even sometimes we have restaurants that are members, hotels, different things like that.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool because, you know, you're like, hey, you're related somehow, right? Yeah. We welcome you. And mm-hmm. It's certainly, you know, it's the biggest industry in Southern Utah, mm-hmm. building. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. It used to be agriculture, but that was a few years ago. Yeah. And now it's building. Now, there are people out there who say, well, the home builders are the bad guys. And I've never taken that stance because I feel like, you know, if somebody wants a home built, you know, they're going to buy a home. Yeah, you know, this is America and you have property and you're allowed to build on your property. I mm-hmm. think that, you know, that's something that it's a God-given right. I mean, at least if you live in America. Yeah. So do you get people that look at you as a bad guy? And people go, oh, Sue, but these guys are terrible. And do you ever get that?
We do once in a while. Yeah. But, you know, we're very active in our community. And it's not just that our members work in the community. They are a part of our community. You mm-hmm. know, they're serving as your local coaches, you know, your children's coaches. Mm-hmm. Community service is very, very important to our members. For example, we have SUBA for Service Day, where we donate over $70,000. We contributed 650 service hours, helping nice. Local nonprofits like Habitat for Humanity, Switchpoint Resource Center. You probably remember when we had the flood, right, of 2005.
Boy, do I, yeah.
There were so many members, you know, they didn't wait to be asked to do something. I was so touched that they just started jumping in, you know, they brought their tractors and, you know, they started helping rebuild some of the people that lost their homes. And so, Doctors Volunteer Clinic, we built that and then 10 years later we expanded it, doubled the size. And we know that is a huge organization for our community. There's a lot of people that, you know, can't afford health insurance, but they don't qualify for assistance. And so you have a middle gap where they need dental and they need, you know, medical. Right. And so that's just, you know, one part. I'm really excited. We are actually involved in Liberty Village. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're starting construction this week.
Maybe explain to people what it is that I haven't heard.
Yeah, so you can actually go to libertyvillage.org, and we're not over the organization. We were asked to help build some of the buildings, but it's going to include replica buildings based on American history, for example, Independence Hall. And so students throughout Washington County and throughout the state can actually go to this community and learn firsthand about American history, about the sacrifice that our forefathers did so that we can enjoy living in this country.
Now, where will this village be?
It's out in Hurricane, okay. close to Copper Rock, but kind of over that way. You know, we just encourage anyone go to the website and they can, there's videos and different things about it, but we're so excited. Our members are stepping up, trade contractors, general contractors, suppliers that are helping with donations or reduced costs. And, we're super excited to start construction this week on that.
It sounds like SUBA loves America.
We love America.
I love that. That's awesome to hear. We're very patriotic here on KDXU, too. Right, Mello?
Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so obviously one of the things that the reason I was talking about people looking at you as bad guys is wow, they're going to drink up all the water that those of us that have lived here for 31 years or 50 or 100 or whatever years have lived. And I think that's probably part of your job, Stacey, right, is to work with local governments to help people understand that you guys aren't here to take all the water. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Stacey, and how that fits in with water.
Yeah, so I think you touched on a couple of big topics already there. So you know, we don't think that building a house creates the occupant for that house. We think the need for that house actually leads the way.
And by the way, I think there's, 5 million or 4 million shortage of homes,
right,
places to live in our country right now. So
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So we very much see ourselves as part of the solution to the affordability issues. And so we've got to meet the demand that's there. We have families, they grow up, they move out, et cetera. We're still an attractive destination for retirees and for second homeowners. And so, you know, to have a healthy housing market, we think that, you know, there has to be abundant housing and there has to be a wide variety of housing choices. And so that's really our advocacy mission is to really stump for those kinds of policies that will lead to greater abundance and ultimately better affordability. You know, the water issue is one that we're very, very active in. We certainly understand the nervousness that people feel as we continue to grow.
Sure.
But yeah, we've been very, very engaged with the Water Conservancy District, especially over the last several years as they've really increased their efforts on the conservation front. And so we're now to the point where the data is that new homes just use a small fraction of the water of older homes.
A lot of restrictions on new builds.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and also the, you know, indoors, the appliances and fixtures and everything are so efficient anymore. So indoors, we're not using as much water. And then we've all seen a shift to adoption of greater drought-tolerant plants and so forth in our landscaping. And so we've been very active on that front with the Water Conservancy District and very supportive of that direction and really take seriously the importance of being good stewards of water. We think based on, you know, they're the experts in this, so we're, you know, relying somewhat obviously on their,
right,
on that expertise. But at this point, we're quite confident that we have a good plan to manage the resource that we have, the water resource that we have, to continue to and still meet the demand for homes as it arises.
I know it's really complicated, but could you go over some of the restrictions that a new build would have that maybe a house that's been around for 50 years wouldn't have?
Yeah. So indoors, we do have to use water sense fixtures. It's almost hard to find something that's not in appliances, and so that part's relatively easy. The other significant shift that we supported as of a few years ago was that all new builds have to have a hot water recirculating system, and so you don't turn on your shower, you know, go do your taxes, come back, you know, about that time the water's working. So this is more, you know, there's quite a bit of water loss that happens in that time while you're waiting for the hot water to kick up without that circulating system.
And Zach over there at the water district actually told me, so that's actually one of the biggest water wasters of anything is people waiting for the water to warm up.
Yep.
And I actually went and had one of those put in my house, retrofitted. My house is about 8 years old, but retrofitted because I didn't want to waste that water because I knew exactly what he was talking about.
That's great, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think then outdoors, that's where probably the bigger changes have happened. You know, we've supported and accepted turf restrictions, so we have very little spray irrigation going into new home construction now. Depends a little bit on exactly where you are and the lot size and so forth, but generally speaking, we're just not doing very much spray irrigation outdoors, and that's another really large water savings.
Do you feel like people like that want to build a house here complain about that? Hey, I wanted a big lawn. Why can't I have one? Do you hear that sometimes?
Not a lot, as much as we used to. And in fact, for us, frankly, it made it relatively easy to support these new measures because the market was already headed that way. Our builders and their buyers were already on board with that approach and seeing that you can still have a beautiful landscape using desert plants. And so we've just sort of taken that trend up a notch by adopting these measures.
And also, artificial turf has come a long way.
Oh, yeah, it sure has, yeah.
Yeah, during the Parade of Homes, we saw it, you know, on the majority of the homes. And they even have where you can see lawnmower marks in the artificial turf. Yeah, so it's really, and the durability has come a long way. So our builders, they want to do what's right, right? They live in this community. And so Stacy's exactly right. Way before these conservation measures were enacted, they were already doing it.
Oh, nice.
They were doing it the right thing. So
that is good to hear. And as far as the artificial turf, I remember, I mean, I lived in Houston when they put in the Astrodome and put in, and it was basically green colored carpet on concrete. That's what the guys played on. And, and then somebody said, well, let's put a little pad in, you know, make it a little softer. And then, it's come a long way since then. We have artificial turf in our front yard, and it is, I mean, if you didn't know that it wasn't grass, you would think it was grass. It looks very real.
And it
reduces the heat, too. We got the kind where, you know, because some say, wow, the artificial turf reflects the heat. It actually it reduces heat as well.
So. Yeah. And, you know, for existing homeowners, too, the water district has a rebate program. So if you're willing to, you know, modify your landscaping, take out some of that water wasting products, you know, they'll actually help assist with you. And it was funny. I was talking to Zach the other day, and he said, Mari, can you do more than one parade of homes throughout the year? Because guess what? Every time we have the parade, it rains. And this year, it rained as well. And as we all know, we hadn't received moisture in a while. So we're just doing our part.
Yeah. Now, let's segue that right into the parade of homes. And this is, you guys put on, this is your baby, right? You put on the parade of homes.
Yes. We put on the parade since 1991. And it has come a long ways over the years. And, you know, this is a huge economic driver for our community. We do get questions, you know, why can't you include more affordable homes as part of the parade?
And it kind of started that way back in the 90s, right?
Right. But, you know, just like land costs, I mean, if your lot is, I think we were talking to Emily at the Board of Realtors, the average lot cost right now is like $312,000.
For a lot. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And people want us to build $250,000 homes. Well,
that math doesn't work on that one.
but also, it's important to know that the Parade of Homes is a show. It's an event. Mm-hmm. And so our contractors, our designers, trade professionals, they include the best of the best. They want to feature, you know, products that aren't even in our market right now. And so all the bells and whistles are included in the parade. All of our parade builders do build less expensive homes, but with the parade, it's a show. And it's interesting with the amount of visitors we get, the most popular homes are the multi-higher end homes.
Everybody wants to see the $10 million home, right?
Exactly.
I mean, of course we do.
Yeah. we did have a home $400,000. You know, we had some in $500,000 range, but for sure majority are, you know, multi-million dollars. But, you know, we estimate about half of the visitors come from out of the area. And so what do they do when they come to St. George? They're staying in our lodging. They're eating in our restaurants. They're shopping. You know, they do things
and
beyond.
Perhaps ultimately buying a home here, right?
Yeah, exactly. We did have for our sixth year, we have a partnership with the Washington County School District. Mm-hmm. And we had a bonus home that was built by local high school students, and that program is making significant impact in our community. We have the new Career Tech High School, and the most requested pathway for this coming year was construction.
Really?
And we're having a significant labor shortage, so it's really important that we do our part to inspire the younger generation. And it's wonderful when they're at their home, they serve as hosts, and they talk about their experience, and they can't believe that their work is being featured as part of the Parade of Homes. And it's pretty remarkable, you know. And some of the students, their parents are working on other parade homes. Like this one student said, his dad said, you know what, when we do a parade home, it has to be perfect. If it's not, we're going to rip it out. He's a tile setter. We rip it out and we start over. It has to be perfect.
Wow.
And so we have wonderful people in the building industry, and they're inspiring the next generation.
Now, you talked about something, labor shortage. And I always ask this about mayors and county commissioners, people I have on the show. How can you retain, in this case, the construction industry, workers when it's expensive to live here? Like, and they could maybe go move to, I don't know, to Fayetteville or wherever, and maybe make close to the same wages, but live, you know, the price of living is half of what it is here. How are you able as a board to address some of those issues?
Yeah, definitely it's a challenge. You know, workforce housing is a big challenge. We have partners that we work with, like the Board of Realtors. You know, we are working together to help solve the issue. And like Stacy mentioned, we're not interested in the Band-Aid approach, like subsidized housing. Definitely it's a need in our community, but that doesn't impact the mass, right? The mass people, we do feel that supply is key. And so through advocacy efforts, you know, we're working with city representatives. We have committees and task forces where we're looking to, you know, have building the process improve and become faster. Stacy, you can talk more about this, but advocacy is a huge part of it.
Yeah, and you're right. We, you know, one of the reasons the affordability issue is important to us is because it affects us directly, you know, just like other, you know, many other industries locally. A lot of our workforce depends on having access to an affordable home. And so, yeah, that's really the top three missions for us is addressing that. And, you know, it takes a variety of forms. We certainly feel like the supply issue is the key thing. One thing that we also really focus on is the what's sometimes referred to as the missing middle. You know, we've started to see definitely a shift towards more townhomes and smaller lots and that sort of home type. But there are a lot of housing types that have really gone extinct over decades. You know, the smallplex, the fourplex, you know, eightplex. Cottage courts, mother-in-law apartments, the ADUs, you know, that we're starting to see that's a step on that track of creating additional housing types that are a little bit more tailored to the needs of our community. You know, we, have over, I think it's about 55% of Washington County households are one or two person households. And so, you know, there's a need for smaller homes. And one thing that we see is the trade-off that most people want to make is at a certain point they'd rather have a little bit more living space indoors than a larger lot. And so sometimes a smaller lot in a very small house ends up being a little bit lopsided into the land, especially with the land prices being what Mari alluded to. And so we're advocating for policies that open up some of these additional housing types as options for us to meet that supply where it's needed.
Nice. I got to get a commercial break in, but when I come back, I want to talk a little bit about the evolution of home buyers. You know, you start out as a first-time home buyer, and then, you know, like I'm just using my family as an example, you work up about two or three or four homes over the years, and then at a certain point, your kids start to grow up and move out, and then you need a smaller home, which is what we had a big home. Now we need a small home. We're in a smaller home, and we're at this point now empty nesters. It's almost like maybe we should be thinking about a town home or something like that. So I want to talk about when we come back. Mari Kreshewetz is here. Stacy Young is here. Mello is over there. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Stacy and Mari are here. Mello's here. I'm going to leave your last names out of it because I know I'm going to say Kreshewetz wrong one of these times.
You got it.
Call you Kreshewetz or something, and then I feel mad. So Mello is here, too. Hi, Mello.
Hello.
We are just hanging out, talking homes today. Now, I see this report. I think McRae shares a report, and it says by SUBA, by you guys. And it's, I don't know, how many houses are on the market, how long they're on the market, how many sold last month, how many sold last year, et cetera. And I love that report. And I guess I'm a little bit of a numbers geek. I like that kind of thing. Mello probably looks at that, too, and goes, yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, pie graph if it's a picture.
She is a realtor, Tondo, so a realtor.
Realtor. That's
real
correct.
Tour, yeah.
Like a doctor, it makes us famous.
Doctor. Talk a little bit, first of all, about the evolution of a buyer. You know, like I said, we moved here, we rented first, and then we bought a starter home. You know, it was actually a manufactured home. So, and then we went from there to what we call a stick built home, an actual home, and then we got a bigger home, and then we lived in that one for a few years. And then once the kids all started moving out, we had 40% of our house was unoccupied. And we're like, okay, we need a smaller home, so which is where we're at right now. But we just, in the last year or so, we went empty nesters here. Mm-hmm. And so now we're actually probably not necessarily going to move, but we're now thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had someone that would do our lawn for us? And we don't really need, we have two empty bedrooms now, and I don't know. It's fascinating, I'm sure, for both of you, Mari and Stacy, to think about who our buyers are and how they evolve over the years.
Yeah, maybe I'll jump in on that one. We, you know, ultimately the true indication of whether you have a healthy market, housing market, any other market is comes down to your price, right? If it's high and unaffordable for many, that signals that we probably are undersupplied. Mm-hmm. And if we're, you know, have a nice healthy balance of supply and demand, then your pricing is going to make sense. But beyond that, we do try to project housing needs. We look at projections in terms of how population growth, household growth. But then really what you're touching on is super important. We want to splice that market down a bit into more coherent chunks. And one of the ways we do it is in exactly the way you're talking about. So we'll usually define a starter home household as being up to 35 years old. Peak household households are 35 to 55. And then the downsize demographic is that 55 and older household. And and they have very different needs.
I'm there now. Mari and I are both
too.
Like, yeah, we're there.
We're there.
Yeah, and I am too. And I again, back to signs of a healthier or less healthy market, you know, we know that locally and beyond locally, our housing market has this dysfunction where we have a lot of homes that are relatively empty, like the three of us, and a lot of other homes that are maybe overcrowded because people are having to double up, et cetera, to make ends meet. And so, for sure, a healthier housing market is one where there's a little bit more flexibility and people are more easily able to shift into the house that they need as their needs evolve over their lifespan.
I'm curious how many people come to this market, whether they are already here and have equity in their current home, so they have a big down payment, or they move from a couple of states west of here with a lot of money. Do we see a lot of cash buyers or people that maybe pay, you know, they buy $1 million house to put $500,000 down, put 50% down? Or do we see a lot of that here?
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We do see a lot of in-migration, and especially compared to a lot of parts of Utah, that does contribute more of the share of our growth. But we also are growing organically as well, in terms of just the families that we have. And so we kind of have this natural growth rate that is driven by our own kind of birth rate, et cetera. And then on top of that, we have a more volatile part of the market that is driven by that demand. So we saw a huge influx of folks during the COVID era,
I was,
right?
You and I were thinking the same thing. I was saying, in 2020, I had a lot of people wanted to be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we see those peaks and valleys. That buyer demographic is a little bit more discretionary, right? In terms of they can maybe postpone a year or accelerate a year on either side of when they move, or if they were to buy a sort of a pre-retirement home or a second home, that's a little more discretionary. And so that ends up being more volatile.
Pre-retirement home. All right. Yeah. I just learned a new term today.
Yeah. We do see a significant amount of that here locally. Yep.
Okay. I love, Stacy, when you say a healthy housing market, it's like the cars, right? Mm-hmm. For example, Toyotas, you need your Corollas, but then you also need your higher end, you know, Avalons, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the key to a healthy market for sure. And, you know, people say, you know, why housing costs have gone up so much? Well, if you compare it to the automotive industry as well, 10 years ago, can you buy a car today for the price 10 years ago?
No, you can buy a new car for $10,000 10 years ago.
Right? Yeah.
Not now you're looking 30.
Yeah.
For the same car, basically. Mm-hmm. So
that's exactly right. The inputs really set the cost of the inputs set the floor of what we can deliver home for. And we saw on the production side the same thing that we saw on the consumer side. So the inputs to residential construction, I was looking at this report the other day, are up about 45% in the last 5 years. So we had the same COVID bump in appreciation or inflation on the input side. That trickles through to impact fees and all of the other sort of indirect costs as well as those direct costs. impact fees now. Typically in Washington County, you're going to be spending $30,000 to $40,000 in impact fees just to
right immediately on a new build.
Right on yeah, to start.
Plus a lot that's out of this world price wise, and then before you even put one piece of concrete in the ground, all of a sudden you're into it a lot of money. Wow.
Yep, and then supply cost and then labor shortage, so it definitely compounds. I do want to give a shout out to our city representatives. You know, several years ago it was very difficult to get higher density housing approved, and they've definitely come a long way. They recognize the needs of the community, you know, our children and grandchildren, the needs that they have for housing as well.
How many times have we heard, Mari, I wish my kids could afford to stay here?
Exactly.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it really hits home when your own children have to move away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times we don't talk about the income side. You know, income definitely has to increase to be able to afford these higher prices.
And that's one of the things my son always says. He says, we don't have a housing affordability problem. We have a wage problem here in southern Utah. If they would pay more, we could afford these houses.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And so, I think, you know, city representatives, and they have a very difficult job, right? Mm-hmm. They represent their constituents. And we still have issues with the, you know, surrounding neighborhoods. If we try to, you know, our developers go in with higher density housing, mm-hmm. you know, they feel like it's going to bring crime and, you know, mm-hmm. all other challenges. But we all need to just keep in mind, you know, these are the townhomes are for the smaller lots are for our children and grandchildren or those that are on a fixed income as well. So we need to be considerate of that. And, you know, we think as far as new housing design, it is really important with that, right? If you have a beautifully designed development, you have some open space, then it can contribute to our already beautiful community.
Unfortunately, it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't, as far as apartments, because if you don't build them, then the citizenry is complaining, well, our kids can't afford to live here. If you do build them, well, there's more crime and you got, you know, all these problems with having apartments, and mm-hmm. that's a tough deal.
Yeah.
That's a tough deal that you guys have to, I guess, kind of walk a fine line there, huh?
Yeah.
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 So, let's get a quick break in. Mello has some questions for you guys about technology and the latest. When we come back here on the Andy Griffin Show, be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Mari Kraschewitz is here. I knew I was going to screw it up. And Stacey Young and Mello. Mello, we want to talk a little bit about technology. I know there was some stuff that is fascinating to you as a realtor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I always love the Parade of Homes, and I don't usually get a chance to get over there, but I always buy a ticket because I'm supporting Suba. And my question is, what are some of the really cool features that they're putting in the new homes technology-wise and just ease of life-wise that are trending right now in the new homes?
Yeah, so there's a lot of homes that you walk into, especially the Parade homes, where you can control your whole home on an app, right? If you're at work and
you lose your phone?
If you're at work and you're on your way home and it's a cold day, you can turn up the heat from mm-hmm. an app on your home, or you can turn on the lights, or, you know, many have cameras now where you can just, you know, watch your home from anywhere around the world. And so it's neat.
Don't all new homes have to have the water meter? AMI, AFI?
The smart water meter. Yes.
That's cool too. Real time. How much water are you using?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And, something I saw the last couple of years, it's pretty interesting. You can have a window in your bathroom now, but with just a push of a button, that window can become opaque. Where you have privacy, and that's super cool.
Unless you forget to hit the button.
Right. You're giving your neighbors a show.
Oh, my gosh. That is really cool. And then what about, like, they can control their pools and their lights and stuff like that too, right?
Yes, exactly. Everything from app technology and, you know, another kind of neat feature we've seen is, you know, us moms, we don't like to see a mess in our kitchen. And so, you know, Butler's Pantry are very popular right now. But it was interesting. Ence Homes, you know, they build more livable, right, affordable homes, even though the Parade home was a higher-end home. But they just had a little tiny, small, you know, pantry in the back where you can, you know, maybe have a little refrigerator, or you can have your microwave or things like that. So your kitchen always looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very creative.
That's nice. And then also with a lot of those bigger homes, I've been through them before where they have rock walls in the basement and they have bowling alleys in the basement and they have basketball full courts in the basement or in the side. Were there many of those this last year?
Yeah, we actually saw quite a few. Pickleball is all the rage right now.
Yeah, pickleball. Uh-huh. Do you play, Mari?
Not a few times, but I love it.
Stacy?
Just busy.
No? Oh, we got to get you guys out.
I know. So fun. So we did see quite a few homes this year with pickleball courts. Mm-hmm. And they can, you know, also be a basketball court and then exterior as well. So that was kind of exciting.
That's awesome. No, I love all that.
Do you feel like there is, I've just been getting this thing, there's an abundance of wealth more than ever in our country. Some of these homes you're talking about, the $10 million to $8 million homes, those are specialty ones for people that have a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a retired doctor or whatever. But there are, I think, everyday people that are able to build $1 million homes, you know, 1 million maybe instead of 10, that have a lot of these amenities. Mm-hmm. Do you see that?
Yeah, or, you know, sometimes when you go to the Parade homes, you can incorporate one or two things that you see.
Yeah.
You know, you might not be able to include all the bells and whistles, but for example, you know, a short time ago, do you remember when home theaters were so popular and then
you started seeing
home theaters pop up? Now they call them.
Not so much anymore?
No, they call them flex rooms. So it's a multi-purpose room where you can gather and play games with your family, but then you have a nice size TV, and it's more of an opening gathering place.
Nice.
So, yeah, so those are some of the things, but even decorating ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't afford a parade home, but there are many people throughout Utah that can afford, and so. There's a balance for sure.
Yeah, another thing I'd maybe add to that is that one of the maybe more subtle things that happens with the higher end homes and the innovations that happen there is materials, and like we're talking about earlier, the efficiency, et cetera. Those innovations do trickle down to even entry level homes. So that helps drive innovation in the industry as well, that everybody gets to enjoy ultimately.
Exactly. And I don't know if the public's aware, but every time you purchase a parade ticket, a portion goes to our Home Builders Care Foundation, where we talked about community service projects, education scholarships. We actually give away $40,000 every year. It fluctuates at price, but minimum $40,000 to students who are pursuing education in the related field. And so I do want to mention, if anyone's out there or their children that need some help with education scholarships for college, you can apply by March 31st, and all you do is go to SUPA.com and the application is there. And we want to encourage our students to apply for that.
Nice. Get your kid a scholarship. That's awesome. And I'm here to tell you, as a dad of, a couple of college-age kids, every little penny helps, man, when you're trying. I can't tell you how much money we paid for my oldest son to go through 7 years of college, and then he's not even using it. He's selling homes. So.
Oh, he's in the industry. That's great.
He is. Southern Utah, even. He's selling homes down here in Southern Utah. So,
yeah.
In fact, I always say I have a couple of realtor clients, but I honestly, if I do sell my home, I might have to get my son. I think there's an obligation there, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'd go, Mello, will you sell my home for you? But then I would be in trouble with my son.
Oh, yeah. That's a big faux pas. You definitely use your family first. I would not be mad about that.
Yeah.
So in 2020, 2021, we had supply line issues, and that drove up the cost of materials. Now, 2025, we have tariffs and, you know, money that's being charged to countries for things like aluminum and stuff that they bring into our country. Is that affecting, Stacy, the industry right now?
Not so far. The NAHB has been really active on this front. They estimate the impact to a new home could be around $10,000, but at this point it's all speculative, and they are advocating for an exception for building materials because, like we've been talking about, the the cost of inputs, supply, all of that is a challenge, and the housing crisis is really a national issue at this point. So at this point, it's something that we're watching, but not freaking out about, if that's a way to put it.
I keep hearing that number. There's like a shortage of 4 million homes in America right now. People need homes, and we don't have enough of them. What does that mean as far as nuts and bolts, as far as everyday life for someone? Does that mean people are having to rent, but they don't want to rent? They could get a home? Or does that mean people are homeless? Or what does that mean exactly?
It's really all of the above. You know, like I mentioned earlier, what we see a lot of nowadays is sort of doubling up, sometimes referred to as that. So kids that have adult kids that have to move back home, adult folks that are rooming with, you know, two or three other adult singles where they prefer to be in a studio or one bedroom apartment, et cetera. And then, on the extreme edge of that, it's not as much of an issue here, but ultimately that does contribute to the homeless issue in a number of cities.
What is the housing shortage in Utah?
In Utah, I think the estimate is in the tens of thousands, so it's not as extreme as some places. But I think that the most recent number or estimate that I saw was around 45,000 homes short. And we need to build around our estimates anyway, depending on how the population growth does pan out, around 3,500 to 4,500 new homes a year of all kinds to meet baseline need.
It's true. We need them.
And I also heard recently that existing homes are now more expensive than new builds.
Yeah, that's true. And that's unheard of historically. Mm-hmm. New builds are actually on par with existing homes these days, which is pretty incredible given that supply shock that we've talked about.
Is that just demand that's creating that, or?
You know, it's a couple of things. Probably the biggest component of that is it's some compositional shift. So the new construction to try to respond to the need is going to smaller lots and townhomes and so forth. And so when you talk median existing home versus median new home, that median existing home is probably going to be a bigger home on a bigger lot. So there's a compositional difference in there, which explains mm-hmm. a lot of it. Mm-hmm. That's... Hmm.
Did you have a question, Mello? Okay.
No, that's. I just wanted to verify that that's what they had heard, that that's on par.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wild to think about. I have a home. My home is, I think, 7 or 8 years old. Unfortunately, that's that age when the water heater and things like that right. start going out.
Get a home warranty. I tell you every time. Buy a home warranty.
That's right.
She does. So okay. I'll work on that, Mello. Yeah. If you know somebody, send them.
I do.
I'll bet
you
these guys know somebody. So.
Yep. I had two water heaters replaced in the last 2 years, and I spent like $200 instead of... like 3,000.
Yeah, wow. Which that's is what I spent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Parade of Homes, I guess as soon as it's over, or maybe even before it's over, you're already working on the next one, Mari.
We are. We actually already awarded the 2026 Parade Builder, so those homes are well under construction. And it's a competitive process in order to become a Parade Builder. And so they actually have to earn points. So they get points for taking education classes or doing community service or supporting, you know, things like scholarships and things like that. So we're already into 2027 Parade of Homes with that process as well.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the perception is I'm a big shot. You're going to give me one. That's not necessarily true.
No. Nope. You've got to work for it. You have to be active in the community.
That's cool to hear, actually. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's quite very competitive. We usually restrict the positions to 30, but the demand's much higher.
So how many next year?
We have 30. We're 30. Holding at 30.
Okay. 30 next year. And... mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to be. Do you restrict it geographically? I mean, Apple Valley, is that included, or Springdale, or?
Yeah, it's Washington County.
Okay,
so
in the county,
and we leave it up to the builders what they can build, what they feel they can sell in the areas. We do restrict 3 per subdivision, and you'll see some new subdivisions this coming year.
Wow! And do you have a date yet for next year's parade?
Well, not off the top of my head, but it always starts President's Day weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Mari, Stacy, thank you guys so much for coming in. Spending a little time with us on the Andy Griffin Show today. Mello, thanks always for your contribution.
Thank you.
We will be back tomorrow. Thanks, you guys. See ya.